God, man, that was like a long, drawn out. Welcome to the Details Missions podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm your host. And Jason, you might have to shorten that up, man. That's like a. I was like, is it ever going to switch? Is it ever the camera's ever going to?
I don't know. I'll do something.
How you doing?
I'm good, dude. How are you, man?
I'm good. Dude, that was a little, that intro music's a little Westworldy.
I had to throw a little drama in there somewhere. No, so I was like, yo, I'm going to throw it up in the front.
I like it. Like I said, it gives me Westworld vibes, you know?
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, it does. Hey, so got to give you some props.
Oh, yeah.
These we got our came new cards. Out pretty amazing.
Yeah.
We learned our lesson from MTE.
Yeah.
So when we go to SDC and SEMA and everything, we've got these little cards that you guys can get from us. The QR code does work. It'll take you right to our link tree, to where you can find all of the cool stuff. One of those cool things you can find is, our website. Mm-hmm. And it is cool because it has everything that you need for detailing. First of all, we have all the links to where you can find us on the podcast.
Yep.
where you can catch us on social media, where you can listen to us. It also has our wonderful preferred vendor code or page where, you know, you guys can go and spend some money with our vendors because we're going to give you a code to save some money. And then they're going to spend some money with us. And then, yep. And then we're going to give you that funny, hopefully. I don't know. I've been listening to a funny podcast.
Do the equation. I love the equation part.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I know you love that part. The hashtag money, money, funny.
Yes, sir.
Money, money, funny.
And then we have the merch store where you buy T-shirts, the logoed shirt, the Concaster shirt, sweatshirts, hoodies.
Buy some stuff from us because it helps us out. It really does.
Yeah.
Like, you can get this cool hat if you want. And if you want this cool little Adidas
windbreaker, I can get it too. Because I don't have that on the website.
Yeah,
call Jason for that. He needs some money.
No, this goes to the podcast.
He's like the guy outside of the concert selling the knockoff gear.
Look, man, I'm gonna be Happy Gilmore. No, is it Happy Gilmore? No, I'm gonna be Billy Madison in a couple months.
Yeah, it's true. Jason's
gonna be Billy Madison it for a few months in college. Yeah. You know,
Jason's got to pay for college.
My boots tied tight.
Yeah, so we are a week away from SDC.
Yep.
How excited are you?
I'm excited because I get to see a lot of people that I haven't seen since February. Let's be real.
January,
February-ish, yeah. And that's about it, you know. I'm excited to do some live content with you together because, you know, we only live 2 hours away, but, you know, I'm not trekking 2 hours to go podcast.
Yeah.
But that I'm excited for that.
2 hours away in Florida is really a long time of driving, too.
It is. But speaking of driving, I Googled map my trip.
Yeah.
And at first, it was 17 hours, but I Googled it from like this time of night. It's only 12 hours. I was like,
There you go.
12 hours.
You know how long it is for me on the plane?
2 hours.
2 hours.
But here, so our viewers know what's coming. We are gonna, well, at least I'm going to document my trip. I hope Alex does too. But when we go to Seattle, we're also gonna document our trip there as well. So we gotta bring you like a new docuseries of us traveling because that's a new thing for us now.
Why not? We got
give you some good content, some real behind the scenes shit. And let me tell you right now, I'm staying in the same hotel room as Alex in Seattle. So
yeah. I have a feeling this is going to be a very Jason Bateman, Will Arnett type of relationship for anybody who's checked out the Smartless podcast. We just need a
cameraman.
We need that.
We need a third. You mean?
Yeah. We need a Sean. What's Sean his name? Hayes. Sean Hayes. Yeah. We need a Sean Hayes. Anyways, so we are. what are we doing? We're live on YouTube and we're live on Facebook. We're always live on YouTube on live streaming to YouTube on Wednesdays and Friday nights, the Details Questions Podcast is our channel over there. Love for you guys to go over there and give us a little follow, a little subscription, all that fun stuff. And please, anywhere you're listening to the podcast, go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button. Send us a nice little review. We got two new reviews.
Oh.
Which thank you for the people who sent out the two new reviews. That helps out a lot.
Are you going to read them or no? I didn't even know we got new two.
Yes, you did. You commented on them. Never mind, now that I closed out my right. live feed. And
maybe we'll do it when we close out, okay?
No, it's too late.
Too late? Oh.
It's too late. I'm already here. So thanks to AKA underscore Flyboy. Gave us 5 stars, said always improving. Been listening to the podcast back when some episodes would go over 1 or 2 hours. But even at that length, I didn't want to shut off the episode until it ended. Listening to the podcast, I learned about the big name detailers in the industry. And Alex is able to get them to open up and tell us stuff. And then Gloss Pro said that we are smoother than syrup that he puts on his Eggo brand waffles. Said awesome podcast, 5 stars. So we appreciate that, guys. So yeah, let's knock out
smoother than syrup.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a new phrase, man.
Yeah, let's go ahead and knock out our first commercial and be right back with our with our guest. We'll be back.
So tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go?
That was
on the Viper
fun.
Chair.
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
You know, a lot of guys were generally trying out, going, huh, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet, and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
Get in its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think detailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name's Alan Medcraft, and I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and at checkout, use the code DSP to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper's giving you off, get another $25 as well.
Now is your chance to try Oberg's new rinseless wash and quick detailer. Additionally, you can save 15% by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. This hyper concentrate can be diluted down for a rinseless wash and a quick detailer. It serves excellent as a clay bar lubricant and truly smells incredible. To find out more, please visit OberCarCare.com.
All right, and we're back with Luke Wilson from Wilson's Auto Detailing and John Gervais. Any relation to Ricky?
I get that all the time. I wish, man. He's hilarious.
Shit, I wish too. We could add a celebrity on.
Exactly. Yeah, trust me. And, no, just little old me.
Yeah, Sean with Orbis X. You guys probably all know them. How are you guys doing tonight, this evening?
Fantastic, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having us. Yeah.
No. Appreciate you guys being on. So I'll go left to right on my screen. So Luke, for anybody who doesn't know who you are, give us a quick little who you are. What do you do?
Sure. Yep. So I detail full time, obviously. And I also run an online business, and both of those are under Wilson Auto Detailing. I'm based out of Nashville, Tennessee. And so been detailing for the last, well, it's actually the only job I've ever had. So nice. Never done anything else. So yeah, maybe that's my bio in a nutshell.
That's good. And Sean, for anybody who doesn't know you and Orbis X.
Yeah, absolutely. So hey, Orbis X is a new product I've launched. I'm a venture capitalist at heart, but it's a software company to help detail shops run their business. And it birthed out of a need that I had at my own detailing shop where we needed software for that. So I've got 7 companies in total, and Orbis X is the latest addition, which is good.
There you go. But,
yeah,
so Jason changed your name, if you haven't noticed.
You know, Luke's gonna change to him. I'll tell you right now, I'm a little disappointed that, you know, you're not the real Luke Wilson, man.
Right.
Jesus, we just look, this is the B team.
I know. Owen Wilson's way less famous brother. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys almost had two celebrities on here. That's what it was.
Oh, hey, that's the story of this podcast. We've almost had somebody.
Almost. But it is smooth like syrup. So that's
the exactly. Oh. Exactly. So listen, the reason why I invited you guys on, for anybody who's reading the What's on Your Mind, is I wanted to talk about the three R's. So reviews, referrals, and returning clients, because I feel that right now there's a little bit of a dip in business or in customers or whatever. I don't care, you know, the clout chasers on Facebook that are saying they're booked out until 2024 and whatnot. And I think right now the biggest concern for some people, myself included, is, you know, how do we get reviews from our clients? What's the best way to go about it? What's the best way to get referrals from our clients? Do, you know, is there a, you know, do people do, you know, a referral program? Like, hey, I'll give you a free whatever if you send me somebody. I mean, I've done in the past where I've actually gone out and bought gift cards, you know, and give to my clients, you know, hey, I really appreciate you sending me, you know, your buddy, your neighbor, whatever, like, here, take the wife out to dinner or something like that. And in returning clients, right? Like, how do we get our clients to return to us? Cause, you know, some people, you know, like myself, when we do a ceramic coating job, you know, it's kind of a one and done. We don't necessarily want to maintain that vehicle. We don't want to take the time out of the shop to do a wash, right? You know, not make a lot of money, but there's ways of getting that client back to do, you know, a yearly decon, you know, doing more than just a wash, doing a decon wash, maybe getting them, hey, you know, we ceramic coated your outside, but, you know, when's the last time you had your interior done? You know, you might be able to sell $300 or $400 interior. So that's kind of, you know, Luke, with what you do, with your teaching and your classes and things like that, I think you cover, you know, some things of how to do this. And then obviously Sean having a CRM based, you know, that's kind of meant to do these things. That's why I thought you guys would be, you know, really good to have on. So, I mean, let's just break it down. The first R, reviews. I mean, that to me seems like that's the important one. Like, you know, what are your guys's, you know, ways of, you know, teaching people or helping people get those reviews from clients? Cause a lot of times, you know, they're in your shop. Hey man, did a great job. You know, I'd love for you to give me a review. Yeah. Yeah. No problem, man. And then, you know, and then they're gone. Yeah. You know, and they forget about it, drive home, forget about it or whatever. And, you know, you don't want to be that guy, or at least I don't want to be that guy that's like, hey, I'm seeing a review. You said you're going to hook a boy up, you know, like, so yeah. What are your guys's, you know, how do you guys deal with that or teach that or work with that? And whoever wants to go first.
Yeah. Sure. So I'll jump in because I absolutely love reviews. Oh my gosh, do I ever love reviews. So at our shop, my shop's name is Auto World, and we've got over 1,000 five-star reviews, and which is a pretty big feat because most shops that I've seen out there, they're sitting at around, you know, 100, 150 reviews, kind of that around that ballpark. Sure, and I get asked
30.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And I get asked all the time, like, how did you do it? And we follow a very particular process, and part of it's with technology and the other part is with human interaction as well. Because even though I come from a technology background with the CRM side, that came after I built my businesses, and I actually went to the Walt Disney Institute for Marketing. And a lot of people don't even know that Walt Disney, they know the movies, but they have a whole separate business that's just focused on helping businesses create magic, as they called it. Oh, wow. And so a big part of that is building those customer experiences. So a few things that we do, subtle things. I know a lot of guys like to collect tips, for example. But what we do is we tip our guys. We don't allow customers to tip our guys. And how we do that instead is we have a tip jar, and it's sealed shut and taped all around it, so you can't even open it. There's no way to put money in. And it says tips. Inside, there's a message that says, leave us a review. People always ask us, oh, I want to leave a tip. And we always tell them the best tip you can give us is a five-star review. That would help us out tremendously, keep us going. It energizes our guys. But the important part is to let them know the guys will get tipped based on how many reviews that they get at the end of the month. They get bonuses. We give them a gift card to take their wife out to dinner, things like that. So that's part of the conversation. then Orbis X will follow up with them as well to, you know, ask for that review after the time. But then there's more to it than that. We call customers as well, because we do check and see, like, you know, how we had, you know, 25 jobs yesterday, but we only had 6 reviews. What happened to the other ones? So we call the customers, hey, just wanted to check in, but you have to have a reason to check in. So right. You can't just call and say, hey, wanted to see if you left that review. So we call for a purpose, you know, whatever the case may be. And usually what we do is we try and build the rapport with the customer. We ask 3 questions, and our guys get commissioned based on if they've learned 3 things about each client. And then we put those in the profile. Basic questions. Do they have pets? Do they have a spouse? Do they have children? What are their plans for the weekend? Do they have an anniversary coming up? Things like that. If they can put in 3, they earn more commission. If they only put in 2 or 1, usually they get nothing and try harder next time. And what we do is that's our reason to call back. We say, hey, I noticed you mentioned you were going to play golf this weekend. Just wanted to make sure. How's the interior clean that we did? Is everything holding up for you? Hey, by the way, I noticed, you know, we didn't see that you had a chance to write a review. Not a problem. I know you're busy. But if you get a chance to do it today, that would be greatly appreciated.
Right.
So we do things like that. It just becomes part of our company policy and our process that we do for every client. And part of it's with technology, and the other part is human interaction as well.
Yeah. And I know some people will, I've heard, you know, some people will kind of do something similar to like the little card that I held up that that has all our information on. And it, you know, will say something along the lines of, you know, the job's not done yet. You know, in order for small businesses to grow, we need your help. We'd love for you to leave a review. And then, you know, can have a QR code on it that'll take them right to,
leaving the review.
The review and things like that. That's something that I've been kind of thinking about or looking into. It's just sometimes I feel like, you know, you just clean a customer's car, you don't want to leave more trash.
more stuff. Yeah. It's true. But a fun one to do that we've played with at our shop before is we have a bag of ping pong balls, and I know you're probably thinking, what the hell does that have to do with detailing? So we write numbers on them, and then we give those to customers. We leave it in the cup holder for them. And then we let them know that every week we're going to hold a contest or something like that, where you could win a free tint or a free detail or whatever the case may be. But you have to have left us a review, shared something on social media about us, and then you have to have the magic number. And so if you have those 3 pieces, then you can you win. And we find little tricks like that work out quite well as well. So
that's a pretty dope incentive.
Yeah, that is for
me. That is pretty dope.
Thanks. There you go. See? Delivered for free.
Exactly. And Luke, what are your thoughts on it? You know, what are your, you know, get reviews, you know, kind of tactics or whatever?
Sure. I think that I think about it in terms of the guys who are probably under, let's say, like 3 years in the business and probably under like $100,000 to $200,000 a year. Those are the people who really need reviews. Once you get kind of past a certain point, and it doesn't matter as much as it did a year ago or 2 years ago. Not that it stops mattering altogether, but it's a lot more important for the guys in the beginning. And so I guess the way I think about it is I try to isolate it to those guys. And to really make it not technical at all, this is like an experiment we ran. Probably the number one thing that changes, or the easiest thing one can use to start bringing in reviews, is doing the work in terms of asking on the front end. So I don't like leaving reviews. I don't know a lot of people who like leaving reviews. It feels like an inconvenience. And so when I get out of the Uber and it says leave a review, I'm like, I swipe away. I just don't care. Right. However, when I'm in an Uber and the guy's talking to me and he specifically says, I'm new to Uber, I'm building up my own reputation on this platform, do you mind leaving me a review when you get out? I leave a review every single time, because in the car I say, yes, I'll definitely do that.
Right.
And so that was actually the number one to make it really not exciting and not technical. That was the number one thing that I found. And like you said, I have a lot of detailers who I work very closely with. It is the number one thing that changes the rate of reviews that these guys bring in. A lot of times these guys, what we'll encourage people to do is actually take some content from the detail, particularly things like before and afters. If you're posting reviews on something like Google My Business, it's helpful to have content rather than just text. And so when the detailer not only has the customer confirm on the front end that they will leave a review. They also give the customer a reason why they're asking for a review. So they don't just ask arbitrarily, but they say, we're in the beginning stages of building up our online presence. This is probably the most important part of it. Do you mind if we send you a link to a review page after we're done? And the customer, so you're asking permission essentially. And the customer says, yeah, I'll definitely do that. And people like to be consistent. And so when somebody says yes, you're probably talking about going from 1 in 5 people leaving a review to 1 in 2 people. And that continues to go up when you provide the content for them afterwards. So you actually send them the link for the review and you send them the content that you got. They actually like to see it. But you say, hey, if you'd like to leave this in the review, here's a great before and after. And people, there's a sense of like, that's my car,
right?
That they like about that. So to make it real non-technical, that would probably be the number one thing people don't do in terms of trying to change the ratio of people who leave a review versus people who don't.
Yeah, I kind of like the combination of, you know, both of your guys' thoughts.
Absolutely,
with Luke, you're kind of hitting him up front because then you're already planting that seed. And then like with Sean, you're hitting him at the end, or reminding them or afterwards or whatever. And then also,
and both tactics can work with either, like Luke said, new detailers or even seasoned detailers. So those are
100%.
Yeah. Yo,
we need to go to commercial break and move on to the next R.
No, man, we got like 5 more minutes. But the other thing that I've never thought about, and Luke, you make a real good point there, is giving the client that before and after photos so that it's not just, I went to so-and-so's detail shop and they did a great job. You know, they could be like, look at the amazing transformation that, so-and-so did on my car. Here's
you give them the content to use.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because that is one of the things I notice that, I've had a couple of my clients that'll do that. You know, they're so blown away that they go home and they take a picture of the car, outside the house and, they're posting it up on their Facebook page. Hey, had Alex, do my car today. It looks amazing, and that's great, but it's not necessarily like a review for me. Right. It's them posting it on Facebook, but I like that. I think that's some really, really good stuff.
If you want one other last thing too to tack onto that, there's a guy in our group, Aaron. He's running a really successful shop. He's grown immensely in the last 12 months. He's opened up a second location and he does something really cool where he kind of forces a review in a sense, but he still goes after Google and all these other things, but he also plays into the social side. He gets them to hold up a sign and it'll say, I had my car coded at attention to detail. He takes a picture of it and then he posts and every time he changes a little bit and he puts the story John came in to get his car coded because of XYZ or whatever the case is. So he posts things like that. It's done quite well for him. And it's similar to it's not a Google review per se. And a lot of them do go leave a Google review, but it's ultimately the goal is to create consumer trust, right? That's why
you want to. And if you're doing that and putting it on your social media, your Instagram, your Facebook page or whatever, like that can mean a lot too. It seems like.
Absolutely. Yeah. And oftentimes more because you see a real person in your shop next to the vehicle holding up your sign. And so when people see that, it's not just, oh, well, he just had his friends go leave, 20 reviews on his page. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's cool. We got a few minutes before we need to take a commercial. Let's jump into referrals. So what is your guys' take or how do you guys think is a really good way for, you to get that client that now you've gotten a great review from? You've got them holding up a sign and at your shop, did a great job and all that stuff posted on Facebook. Like what's an incentive or how's a good way other than just, doing a great job, right? Cause that's the main thing everybody always says is you do a great job. It's word of mouth advertising, it's the best advertising in the world, but sometimes, you might need that little push or maybe you got a client. I mean, I've got clients that I've done numerous of cars for, them. But I've never really had a client say, hey, so-and-so said you did a great job on their car. I want to get my car done. Right. So like, yeah, I'm doing a great job for them, obviously, because they're bringing me multiple cars, but I'm not getting that referral from them. So what's your guys' take on that? And we'll go backwards this time. We'll let Luke have a chance to go first.
Sure. I might disappoint, I guess, answering a question like that. I don't think about those things much.
Okay.
Nor do I would I teach people to think about those things. I really think it's just a waste of time in 2023, I guess. For the same reason that I don't like, you know, the guy at Amway who sits down with me and like wants to buy me coffee, and then I figure out he's in a network marketing company and then he's trying to recruit me, and you're like, oh, right. there was an edge to this. I thought you just wanted to, you know, get coffee. Shit, yeah. You know, I'm being naive. Referrals are something that happen by default when your reputation grows in a good way, and it's not something that's highly controllable. And so I would rather focus on the things that are really controllable. And so to maybe wrap it in a little different package, the closest thing to a controllable referral that I've found is when you get into niche, in terms of location, Facebook groups. So there, I live in a city called Franklin. It's just south of Nashville, and it's kind of like a more affluent suburb of a major city. And so there's a lot of neighborhood, you know, gated communities and things like that.
Right.
And those people are very protective of their little communities. And so they have Facebook groups that are only, you know, the only people who are allowed access are the people who are in the community and all that sort of thing. Inside of those types of things, you get a lot of referrals, but that's still what I would call like an online marketing approach, because you're dealing with people online on social in sort of this niche way.
Gotcha.
So I think it's kind of a farce when people, in the detailing world, it's very common. And I think it's kind of code for, I don't know what I'm talking about, which is if you want to start your business and grow, you need to get referrals. I think maybe I don't know that anybody who actually does that has ever really succeeded. I've never met them, at least,
okay,
in terms of getting people to talk about you.
No. I mean, that's interesting, because, you know, that's a good point. And that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, with the reviews and then trying, you know, and then getting your clients to return, referrals are that one that, you know, unless you're just, you know, doing a gimmicky thing or something like that. I mean, I typically, like I said, you know, like if I'm doing a gift card for my client, it's usually after the client, you know, they've sent me somebody, you know. I'm not like, hey, send me somebody and I'll hook you up with a $100 gift card to take your wife out to dinner or something. It's usually if they send me somebody and it ends up being, you know, a big $2,000-$3,000 ceramic coating job or whatever, I'll go buy a $100 gift card and just, hey, thank you, I really appreciate that kind of thing. But I, you know, I'm just curious, because I've talked to some people, and, you know, sometimes they'll say, oh, hey, you know, if you send me a referral, we'll do a free wash for you or something like that. And just kind of throw it out there to see. So, I mean, I know there's all kinds of ways of looking at it, but I think you're kind of right in that sense, is referrals typically kind of have to be organic and word of mouth.
Right.
But yeah. Let's do this, Sean, before we get your take on it, let's jump into our next ad, and then we'll come back and then hear from you on your take on referrals. We'll be right back. Wait, maybe. Hang on. I got to get that. There you go. Fiber has every pad you would need, including tire pads, towels, got them, windows, wheels, interiors, paint, the all new men on a stick for hitting taller vehicles, or the new bug sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two bucket system, glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey, don't forget, go watch us on YouTube, check out our channel. And then the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot. It's the staple of all auto fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And then the new wheel paw for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
Hey everybody, Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we will not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced 5-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
Okay. So, Sean, your take on referrals. I mean, are you similar to Luke? Are you completely
different? To go a completely different direction, I absolutely love referrals. But here's the thing.
Here we go.
But depends on how you're getting referrals. Because I get asked a lot. It was one of the features that members had asked for to be built into OrbisX. How do I convert my clients into referral sources so that I can now, you know, track the referrals they send me and stuff like that? At our shop, we take a little different approach. Our primary referral sources are other business owners. So we started out in the businesses around us, you know, the coffee shop across the street, stuff like that. And so we usually try and send them as many clients as we can. And then we start that relationship. Hey, by the way, did you notice a few people came in and they mentioned they were sent here by Auto World? And then say, yeah, we did actually. And we say, you know, we want to start some kind of relationship where we talk about each other and we send people back and forth. So we take that kind of approach to referral sources. However, we do promote to our clients as well that we have a referral program of sorts. But what we do is we don't give them a direct incentive at all. We have three charities that we work with, and we let them know that when they send people to us, we make a note of it and we make a donation in their name to the charity. So it gives them that sense of pride, the sense of community. They feel like they're giving back. And what we found is that they're a little more incentivized to do it versus if it was just a direct compensation to themselves. Which is strange. You would think if they're getting directly compensated, they would be, you know, yeah, let me send you some people. But what
this
we found
proves that there's some good people left in this world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just they're few and far between, you know. That's the problem. But well, actually, there's a lot more than you think, and that's where we found that those kind of referral programs have been working very well for us. And but on that note, it does depend on the charities you choose. I will say that from my experience. We tried several different ones. The ones that worked well for us, in case someone wants to try this themselves, we found ones that we do one with this place called CHEO. It's the children's hospital that's here. And then we have another one called Shelter Movers, where they help women from abusive relationships with moving costs and things like that. Oh, nice. So, you know, so specific ones like that, that, you know, are a great cause, but also plays on the heartstrings of humanity.
Oh, you know? Sure.
Yeah, yeah, big time. So those work really well. And then, and you also have to live up to it. You can't just say, yeah, we're going to do it and then not do it. So if you do that, and we always call that client back and we tell them, hey, by the way, we noticed you sent your neighbor. He came in here. He mentioned you directly. We just made a $25 donation to this charity, and they feel really good. And what we notice is that they start to trickle in faster after you do that. Because that weekend at dinner, what are they going to talk about? You know?
Right. Yeah. So you're not donating to the human fund then?
No.
Right? Yeah.
not as far as I know. I'll ask my business partner. But yeah. but we found that works really well. So that's how we do referral stuff. And then, but like I said, you have to be held accountable. So you got to track these things and you got to own up to it. And that's where technology can come in and play a huge role in that.
And I like what you said earlier about like working with the businesses, because I think that's one thing that works a lot. And I've kind of done, you know, I've got a buddy who does spot spray repairs at some of the dealerships in town. And then so, you know, like if I get one of my clients is like, hey, you know, I've got this, you know, really gnarly scratch or this or that, and it's, you know, a little too deep for wet sanding or polishing out, I'll just say, hey, you know, go check out my buddy Brandon, you know, let him know that Alex, you know, sent you or whatever. And then he kind of does the same thing with me. If he gets somebody, it's, you know, looking for a detail or whatever, he'll say, you know, hey, go check out my buddy Alex, make sure you let him know Brandon sent you. So, I mean, I guess that's another way that I wasn't really thinking, you know, on referrals. I was thinking of like, how do you get your clients to referral? But you make a very good point, like to kind of play on what Luke said and not really, you know, bother your clients for the referrals, let that come organically. You could build those relationships with, you know, a dent guy, a tent guy, a PPF guy, a, you know, a wheel guy, a paint, a spot spare repair. If you're not doing any of these things, you build that relationship with them, you know, hey, I'll use you for all of these things. If you, you know, send me some referral stuff too.
100%. And they'll be a lot more active than your customer would.
Yeah. You know,
with referrals, right?
Yeah.
Be a lot more people in a day and stuff like that. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause the one thing I kind of run into is, you know, a lot of my clients are a little more high end. And so some of the people that they work for or are friends with don't necessarily have the type of cars that they have. I mean, so sure. It's, you know, sometimes they're like, hey, you know, like, you know, they just have their $200,000+ Range Rover done. And they're like, hey, I'm going to send you my buddy, you know, he works with me at the whatever place, you know. And then the guy calls me up like, you know, hey, and I tell him my price and they're like, oh, you know, that's a big match. Hey, Maddie, what's up, buddy? Maddie.
It's true. And sometimes that goes the opposite way too. Like, yeah. It's funny you said that. Like, I drive what I think is a nice car, but my business partner, he's got a G-Wagon. But if I referred him to you, he's the cheapest guy you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
It would actually be worth it.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
but yeah, absolutely. So that's how I feel about referrals. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so I like that. I like that working maybe more with businesses or other, you know, deals. What do you guys feel about, you know, working with other detailers for referrals, you know, maybe a shop that's, and I don't know how you guys are. I mean, obviously it's just me, so I'm low volume or whatever, but there is a shop here in Orlando that I've become, you know, friends with. And a lot of times when they're just too busy, you know, they'll send me somebody. I mean, I've got a coding job booked for the week after I come back from SDC because they're too busy and can't get to them, or they do a lot of higher end type stuff like exotics and hypercars and things like that. So sometimes they'll get a potential client with a car that maybe they don't want to work on. You know? they'll be like, hey, we got the right guy.
We got the guy for you.
Yeah.
And you're like, that guy now?
Alex? Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I don't give a shit. Money's money, right? Like, I don't care for what the badge on the car says. So, I mean, what do you, it's been a pretty good relationship, you know? I mean, they're very nice about it, you know, and they keep my business cards on hand. I mean, do you guys do anything like that, or are you guys kind of more
all the time?
I don't really deal with other detailers, deal with more, you know, outside sources.
Yeah. Personally, all the time. It's a smart tactic for a lot of reasons. There was one guy that we were working with for our first year, and he actually went out of business during COVID, unfortunately, but he basically passed on most of his clients that he had, you know. So those kinds of things can happen, or could be as simple as, you know, there's a busy shop and one of their guys is sick. What do they do with all the extra work, right? So you can fill those gaps. So there's always some opportunity there for sure. I think it's smart to play nice with as many as you can that are, you know, directly around you. And we've kind of set up a 10-mile radius of shops that we work with, and we work swap things all the time. Sometimes it's a client that's not a good fit for them, or sometimes they're not a good fit for the client. And so then they're like, oh, you know what? Sorry, we can't help you, but there's a shop down the road, Auto World. They might be a better fit for you, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, we work well with them.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's something I do probably more now than I've ever done, just because of the time that I spend doing online stuff and then the time that I spend in detailing. And so I would say probably 30 to 40% of leads that come in are given to, there's two particular guys who are close to me, probably within 5 miles. One of them is a more high-end shop that does more window tinting, PPF, ceramic coating, and one of them is just starting out. So yeah, but that's just a matter of time. That's a matter of like allocating time.
Yeah.
And so certainly is not something I did 5 years ago, you know?
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, when you're first starting out, it's, You know, you're putting the borders up. It's like, you know, you're not trying to give anything away.
And that being said, though, I would say be selective too. You're absolutely right. The key thing I've heard everyone here mention is that, you know, there's certain criteria that these shops are meeting, you know, and that's where, you know, it all starts with a conversation, though. But I do see a lot more in the groups. Which is nice now, kind of a change where before I saw a lot of can't believe the shop opened up down the road for me. How dare they? And all this stuff. And fortunately, I've seen the mentality shift a bit, which is nice because you know, there's business everywhere, and it's you know, like in the city I'm in, I think there's maybe 40 different detailing businesses, but there's like 2 or 3 million cars.
Yeah,
like really, are we going to service them all? Let's be honest, guys.
What do you feel about like the Chamber of Commerce and everything like that? Like, do you feel that detailers should get involved with their Chamber of Commerce?
Good question. I guess it would depend on the chamber, at least from my experience, because here we've got 4 different ones for different parts of the city. 3 of them, I hope none of them are watching this, but 3 of them are absolutely terrible. but there's just absolute shit.
This is getting clipped and I'm sending it.
yeah, sending it out. Be like, look what he said.
TMZ in this one. Right.
Yeah. They're absolute shit, but the there's one that's really on their game. They're pretty good. So the other 3, they're disorganized and they try to take more than they give and stuff like that. Whereas this other one, they've got a really good community of people that I don't know. They're just a higher tier of people. But it's funny because we're outside of their zone, but they've allowed us to kind of participate because of the volume we do and the people that we send them. But it can be beneficial. I've avoided them more often than not. Let me put it that way.
And Jason, he didn't say which 3. So all 4 of them could be like,
all 4 of them are going to get it.
Now they won't know. Yeah.
It's like when you have 4 friends and you tell them, you know, like, well, 3 of you are friends and 1's the acquaintance, you know, and they're all each other, like, who's the
acquaintance? Exactly. Well, with my daughters, you know,
one of them. I'll put in the subtitle, like, if I work with you, then you know you're not. This is not about you.
Yeah, you know it's not about you. Exactly. It wasn't me. It was Ricky Gervais. But,
it was my cousin Ricky, man.
Yeah. Exactly, man. Damn Ricky.
So returning clients, like, you know, so what's the best way you guys feel to get those clients to come back? And Sean, this is where I think, you know, you having a CRM might be the best, because the one thing that I've been told is, you know, with a lot of these CRM companies that are out there is you have most of them, and I hope yours does, otherwise it's going to sound really bad. You have that ability to email your client base, right? Like, you know, so if somebody comes in for a wash and wax and you want to set them up like for returning every 3 months, and you don't want to have to put it in your calendar and call them every 3 months like I do right now, you can set it up where they just get an email, you know, hey, it's been 3 months, it's, you know, when would you want to schedule? Or if somebody comes in for a ceramic coating job or whatever, and you want to set them up on a yearly, you know, come back in, do a decon wash, you know, whatever kind of thing. Or if you're just having a slow week, you know, or a cancellation or something, and you can mass email all your clients and say, you know, hey, we're running a special, or hey, it's whatever. So how do you guys, you know, tackle returning, getting clients to return without just waiting for them to buy a new car and bring it to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the one thing I love is technology for this exact reason, because in the beginning, human interaction is all we had, and it works really well, so much better than technology. Nothing can replace the way that human sale can transact. However, as your business grows, like we've been doing 25 to 30 cars a day. As your business grows, it's just not possible to call every customer and see if they want to come back in, stuff like that. So that's where technology can really help. And we live in a golden era for that. And then when you mix in artificial intelligence, it gets even more sophisticated. And that's the one advantage with Orbis X, is that it's not just I'm going to schedule this to follow up every 3 months and so on and so forth. Orbis X will actually scan each of your customer profiles and determine, oh, Alex likes to book on Tuesday afternoons. It'll look ahead in the future, find an empty Tuesday afternoon, and it's going to pitch that to you automatically.
Oh, nice.
So it tries to fill those spaces for you. So that's one way to get repeat customers coming back in. But another great way is delivering info. And so over deliver on the job when you do it, that guarantees that they're going to be excited to come back if you reach out to them. But instead of just waiting for them to give you a call or book another appointment, that's where post-service follow-ups really help. And we have that built in, of course, as well. But not just, hey, did you want to come back in for another appointment? It's got to have some sort of depth to it. And so that's where we usually hit them with the automation, where it'll have something about, you know, maybe a 6-month tip after they got their car ceramic coated, something like that. And then we have our guys follow up with them by phone. And we say, okay, which ones went out? We can see which ones went out, which ones didn't book. Okay, let's call them on the phone. And that's where we start that sales cycle again. Okay. So it's got to be part of your business. It's as much as doing the actual detail and, you know, your Facebook ads and your, you know, SEO, all that stuff. The back end side has to be there as well, where you have a process to follow up on customers to get them to come back in. If they spent money before, they'll spend it again.
Spend money again, yeah. I gotcha. And Luke, what about you?
Gosh, I'm trying to, as Sean, you were talking about that, I'm trying to think about how to answer that question in a really simple way. Because there's, it feels like there's so many things you could say about it. I guess the most important thing that I think about is most detailers, and I guess we've all been guilty of this, but most people think that a maintenance client is built after the first interaction is already had. So they're trying to kind of catch up with a person. They're trying to sell a person after what they bought is already been, their car's been detailed, they've paid for it, and it's done. And then All of a sudden they're getting re-hit with this future potential buy. And there was no sort of context laid around it. It's just like, what I hear most of the time is nobody comes back. Nobody says yes to a maintenance call. I can't even get people to consider it. And in most ways, a lot of those problems are solved on the front end, how a lead comes in. And so I'm biased towards things like YouTube and using online video and these particular things that I teach people how to create a funnel that where those people find you. And those people are kind of already talking about a maintenance plan, potentially even before you bring it up.
Right.
That would be like the easiest way to do it, which is why I think maybe that's why I answer the referral question the way I do, is because I try to think of things in terms of lowest barrier of entry. Where should my time be focused, where I'm going to get the most out of it? And so the best answer I would give is, if you can build a sort of online funnel or even build your website out in a way where at least 1 in 5 people have a context for a maintenance plan before they even get on the phone with you, the rest of that interaction becomes a whole lot easier. The second thing that I would say is, when you're building a maintenance plan in the beginning stages, probably the biggest mistake detailers make is they kind of have these time frames in their head where they think, for example, a maintenance client has to be once a month, once every 2 weeks, once every 2 months. Outside of that, it's not categorized as a maintenance client. I understand the logic of that, because obviously you're trying to get them in on a certain type of regular schedule so as to make the detail a bit easier. It's not quite as dirty and all those things. I don't think people realize the power of building up a list of people with whom they've already done business, even if it's a once a year customer. Those people inevitably do business with you again. And if you build up that list, those people funnel into a much more regular schedule over time. But most detailers I know, not only to Sean's point, not only do they not have any follow-up sequence, they don't have any online marketing that identifies the type of lead they want. And they've restricted themselves to these timeframes around which they don't really have the reputation or the authority to restrict themselves to, because their business isn't big enough. Was that a confusing way to say that, or does that make sense?
Well, that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And I think as well with the time frames, because one thing we do at our shop is we don't have fixed maintenance plans that are on that time frame. It works well for us. We have lifestyle plans, and so we, you know, talk to them about what they do with their car. What do they do with it for work? What do they do with it for pleasure outside of work? Things like that. The only ones we have that are on a more, I'd say, regular schedule, where it's like weekly or biweekly, would be the Uber drivers that we deal with. Those guys are a big one, as well as some of the dealers we work with, the shuttle vehicles they use, things like that. But outside of that, it's more, you know, what do you do with your vehicle? Oh, you know, we go on these trips, you know, every 3 weeks or something like that. Okay, great. You know, and so we try and work something around their lifestyle for that.
Right.
And then, you know, we just plug it in the calendar and then it's the rest is plug and play. We just have the recurring thing. And
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, I mean, obviously down here in Florida, you know, we have a lot of beaches. So people go to the, you know, go to the beach, you know, especially when it's nice 90% of the year. So something along, I like what you're saying, Sean, and Luke, is making it maybe more of like a lifestyle, like you're saying, Sean, versus a monthly or maintenance kind of thing, like what Sean was saying, because then you could go, you know, oh, hey, you're going to the beach next week. Well, just to let you know, when you guys come back, you know, we can get all the beach sand out, get a nice wash, get the salt and everything off the, so I kind of like that aspect to it versus pitching it more as like a maintenance kind of thing, because mm-hmm. and that's where I think a lot of people don't want to do maintenance washes, right? Like a lot of detailers are, and I'm kind of guilty of it too. I mean, I do have a few clients that, you know, are ceramic coating clients, and they are maintenance washes once a week, but I have them on a monthly plan, so they pay me at the beginning of the month. That payment covers my overhead for the month. You know, I kind of use it as like the car wash plan, right? Except they can't come every day all the time, you know, it's a once a week kind of thing. But even outside of that, like, I really don't want to do hand washes, you know, I mean, it's not a lot of money for an hour and a half or 2 hours, you know, to really get in and do a thorough wash on a vehicle or whatever. So I like what you guys said there of, not necessarily doing a maintenance, kind of doing more of a lifestyle type plan kind of deal.
And then that helps with the marketing that Luke was talking about too, where now that if you reframe how you're looking at it, you can say, okay, so when I target my customers, this is how I'm going to talk to them, and you're selling them on that. It becomes part of their lifestyle now.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, exactly. No, I like that. All right, let's knock out our last commercial break. We'll come back. We'll do our wrap up. We'll be right back.
Awesome.
Own a detailing business, you need Car Supplies Warehouse. We offer tested and proven solutions to keep your business running strong. We offer wholesale memberships, in-person training, and the best chemicals, products, and tools all in one place. Go to carsupplieswarehouse.com and use code SOLUTIONS for 15% off.
Code is valid for one-time use only. Some restrictions may apply.
Go shop now on carsupplieswarehouse.com.
You need a website, but you don't know where to start? Detailers Roadmap can help. Their websites are designed for detailers and have all the features you need to convert visitors into lifelong customers. It's easy to use, affordable, and they'll even write and design the website from start to finish. So accelerate your auto detailing business's growth and increase online visibility with Detailers Roadmap's bespoke digital marketing services. You'll rank high on search engines and increase PPF, ceramic coating, and tinting sales. Contact Detailers Roadmap today to schedule your free discovery call. And make sure you tell them you heard about it here on the Detail Solutions podcast to receive your discount. All right. Hey. So now
I was kind of hoping Chris was going to have a jingle on that last one.
No, Chris, every time I'm like, hey, Chris, we need to do something, he's like, I'm too busy. So I just make it. And it is.
Chris, we need a jingle.
Yeah. Good luck, man. Okay, so now the fun part of the podcast, at least I think it's the fun part.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. So if you guys have listened to the podcast, you probably know I've got two more questions, but wait, there's more. We're adding a third one today because I heard
I'm nervous now.
So the first one for you guys is when did you realize your worth? And that's that aha moment, you know, when you're like, you know, doing a $200 detail and you realize you should be charging $1,000 for, or, you know, you're trudging along and somebody, you know, asks you a question and you know, or ask for your advice or asks, you know, for your expertise or whatever, and you realize like, hey, I'm worth more than just this. whoever wants to jump in first.
For me, I read this book. Well, it's weird to call it a book. It's, I think, 12 like pages. Boy. It was like, yeah. It was mostly pictures and it was sticky. But so I still have a copy.
Oh, but
Jason's like, why do you invite
listen, it always gives details after dark, some way, somehow.
And we were worried about our fucking audience.
I know.
Absolutely, there it goes. But I read this book called Breaking the Time Barrier. So you still have a marketing agency, but before we were taking on a lot of small businesses as well as medium and large size businesses, and we made a switch to taking on just our large clients, and we dropped about 85% of our clients, and we just passed them off and basically gave them over to other agencies. The book at the time, we were charging hourly. And so everything we did, we just charged per hour. And I don't know why I didn't think of it before, but I read this book, Breaking the Time Barrier. It's by Mike McDermott. He's the founder of FreshBooks, actually. But so was reading this book, and he said he used to have an agency as well. And he realized that there were only so many hours in a day. And sure, you can hire more employees, and now you've just quadrupled your hours and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you're still limited. You're selling inventory, basically, whatever you've got in stock. Versus value-based pricing. And so where your experience as you go, you get faster, more efficient, results are better, but you're penalizing yourself if you're charging hourly still. And so that was a big aha moment for me. And I told my wife, I said, we got to just take some time off. I'm going to restructure the company. So we flew down to Cuba, spent a week down there. And at the same time, I was reading this book, 10X Rule from Grant Cardone. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about setting massive goals. And so it was kind of two things in tandem that I did. It was setting some outrageous goals. And then at the same time, realizing that I don't want to sell my time anymore. I wanted to sell the value I bring to the table instead. Right. And because it's, if I can provide a solution in 5 minutes, it's, you're not going to pay me for 5 minutes of time. You're going to pay me for the, 12 years it took me to solve it in 5 minutes. So that was my big aha moment. And so anyone that wants, I can get you a copy of the book. It's free. I don't think it's online anymore, but I'll send it to you. Anyway, that was my aha moment.
Nice. Yeah. Luke?
The question is, when did you know your worth?
Yeah, when did you realize your worth? Like, when was that aha moment?
When you told him he was a Wilson twin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. When I got invited on this podcast, it hit me.
Oh, man. You got to set your worth a lot higher.
The bar is low. I think, to be full transparency, I don't know that I think of things in those terms. I hear a lot of detailers say things like, you need to know your worth, you're charging too little. Yeah. And I don't know that way. That's not how I experienced growing my business. I think when I was doing, when I was 13 years old and I was charging $20 per car, which is a long time ago, I have three kids now, but I was charging $20 per car because I didn't know much and I didn't have a lot of leverage and I didn't know anything about business and I was learning. And that's about what I was worth. And I guess maybe a simpler answer to the question would be, it's easier to feel what your worth is if you have evidence to believe that particular thing is what you're worth. And so if you make $50,000 a year, I know a lot of people who complain about that and they feel like that's too little. Yeah. And I guess I just kind of wonder, well, that doesn't seem to help anybody. Maybe you should go try to add more value to the marketplace. Maybe that would make you worth more to people. I think about this in terms of in-person training in the detailing industry. I really like training. I really like teaching. I don't like in-person training. I'm not a huge fan of it. It's never going to go away. It's always going to be there for certain people who really want that. But when we put training online, we're able to make it really easy to get, a lot less expensive. People have lifetime access to it. It's constantly updated. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of these skills are things that can be communicated in an online medium. And so I would say maybe one of the things that helped me increase my worth in that sense is providing value in that way rather than just detailing for my customers.
Yeah.
But there's something there that I can say, oh, that's what we're doing. That's what my team and I are pursuing. So it's not like this ethereal sense of like, I'm just worth more, you know, like I just know I'm good. It's like, well, people pay for things that are good. You know, is that too?
No. Listen, the beauty of this question is there's no right answer. The right answer is whatever sure. you feel.
Mine.
You
know? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So no, I mean, and that's what I love about this question is everybody that I've asked it for, God, I don't know, the last year and a half now, because it started with just this one question, and then a few months back we added the second one, and tonight we're adding the third one, is it's never the same answer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, your sure. worth to my worth to Jason's worth to Sean's worth, we all have a different expectation of it, and that's just what I love about the question is I love to know, you know, how people answer it or how people think, and you know, and sure. some people kind of get stumped by it, you know, and they're just like, man, you know, like that's a really good question, and they, you know, they kind of got to think about it or whatever. So no, I think it was
a tough one, self worth. Yeah.
So now on to a fun one. This is the one that Jason loves. So my buddy that I went to high school asked me this question, and I thought it was great. So I've introduced it into this one, and so this is. You know, Sunday night main event, Madison Square Garden, WrestleMania, boxing on Showtime, whatever you're into, MMA, you're standing at the top of the ramp, you know, your music comes on as you're heading down to the ring. What is your fight song that A, gives people an idea of who you are, and B, just gets you pumped up for getting into the ring?
Damn.
And this is the good one because this is the hard one.
It's like, I can see the fucking wheel spinning as he's asking the question, like, shit, come up with a song.
Yep.
Oh, man.
And it's perfectly fine if you can't think of a song, because there's more people that have not been able to think of a song.
Oh, I got tons of them. That's my problem. I'm trying to choose.
Yeah.
Me, I love music. Absolutely love music. My wife and I travel with several speakers everywhere we go, because I don't know why, but people for some reason in this day and age don't want to play music at events for some weird reason. So we have several. Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? But the music is crucial, part of life.
Speakers.
Man, fight song. Oh man, I can only choose one though.
Yeah.
Can it be a remix with like two songs together?
I mean, you could maybe pick a Disney medley if that's what you want, you know.
who am I fighting?
I don't know. It's just,
the it's champion. Just
you're going the
champion.
To battle.
Champion.
Yeah, whoever you want it to be. It could be that car. It could be that. You know, problem with the software, whatever.
It could be you getting out the shower. You know, you pull the curtain back.
Yeah,
and then,
boom. Ready for the day. Yeah, let's go. Man, oh my God, I can only choose one though. Man, some songs that get me amped up. Let me think here, because it's crazy. Because I used to box actually, but
here we go.
We didn't play music on the way in though. I wasn't that famous.
So you didn't have your speaker with you that you carry in your cars? Jesus Christ, guy.
Wasn't allowed to at the time. But it was just my trainer yelling at me, when you're not training, someone else is, to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? As crazy as this is, I'm going to have to go with Rihanna, that bitch, you better have my money. That's it. Oh, wow. I knew people were going to laugh, but that's it. Hey,
I respect that. I respect that,
listen, man. It's an honest answer.
Yeah,
I gotta get paid.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah.
All right, Luke, you've had a few minutes to think about it, man.
I know. I feel so.
I mean, listen, you're from Music City Capital too. So
I'm from the country music capital of the world. And when you're asking that question, I don't think about country music, but if I'm being honest, I listen to a lot of country music, and I listen to a lot of, I don't listen to like screamo, you know, or like a lot of rap or anything. So if I had to, this is probably unrelatable. Okay. So I hate to do, but
listen,
it's your song.
Yeah, it's your song. I don't, you know,
I think this is what I'm thinking about, and this is not a good answer. Okay. But, a very wise person I know. I was talking to him a few weeks ago, and he said, you need to listen to a song called Dissecting the Bird. And so I listened to it, and it's just a song that basically, it says, essentially, don't kill the bird, like dissecting it while you're trying to find where the song's coming from. And I know I'm going like deep, okay, and I don't mean to, but but I think about those things a lot, especially these days, and being, you know, having three girls, and oh, really Lord. Trying to do something that I, you know, think about change, you know, trying to implement some change in an industry I care about, and that would probably be the song, you know.
All right, man.
Like I said, there's no wrong answer, man.
Yeah,
it's,
dude.
Yeah.
It's your song. It has meaning for you. It's perfect. Yeah. Okay, so now on to the new question. So I have very recently become a fan of the Smartless podcast. I'm gonna hype them up like a motherfucker, yeah. Right?
Maybe
now.
They'll hype us up back.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't need the hype though, man.
Yeah, I know they don't. They don't. So if you guys haven't checked out the Smartless podcast, like, go do it. It's so brilliantly done. Yeah. It's Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and Sean Hayes. They're friends in real life, work together and everything. And it's genius, their podcast, because one of them invites a guest on and the other two don't know who the guest is until the podcast happens. And I was like, oh my God, that is just fucking brilliant. And they did a live tour. So it's on the new, Max. We should be getting fucking paid for this. Somebody send them a thing. But anyways, so in one of the scenes, one of the moments, they're on a plane and Jason asks Will this question. And I was like, man, that's a really good question. So I paused it, ran in here, wrote it down. So the question is, if you could wiggle your nose and have your career be exactly where you wanted it to be, what does that look like?
Piece of cake. Oh, fuck. Swimsuit model. Done deal.
I didn't know you had a career in swimsuit modeling, but I mean, if the
let's go
detailing and all that stuff is going to take you to swimsuit modeling,
it'd be awesome, man. Fly around the world, all the best beaches.
Beaches or bitches?
Both. Yeah, yeah, I'm married. Man. Wiggle my nose.
Yeah, if you could do a little Samantha from Bewitched and wiggle your nose and have your career, you know, be exactly where you wanted it to be.
True story, though. I was in Air Cadets long, long, long time ago. I was going to become – I thought I was going to become a fighter pilot. Flew some planes and stuff. It was fun. Left because I didn't like getting yelled at and cleaning my boots. But anyway, started my venture capitalism pursuit. But I always loved aviation. And even now, I'm training to fly helicopters. I think I would fly helicopters, but like tours, give people tours of cool places, or like fly people up to really remote restaurants or something where they could, you know, have a nice dinner or something. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Okay.
Helicopters. Why helicopters?
Hey, my first one was swimsuit model.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, listen, this guy went from Magnum PI to TC real quick. Yeah. So, you know, that'll be great.
Oh man, yes. I guess, yeah. If I could have, that's a great question. If I could have things be the way I wanted them to be right now, I think I would. That's a really tough question to answer. That's a good question, though. It's kind of hard for me to answer because there's some things I'm more secretive about in terms of things that are going to be rolling out in the next like one to 2 years. But I think I would say like this. I think I would maybe like I would be able to – I would be looking back. This is not my ultimate – I guess my ultimate career, but maybe like the next 3 years, I would look back and see we made some really, 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 really good online training. We didn't have to do a lot of marketing because people talked about it, and it allowed people to get what they need at a time they need it at a price that totally worked for them. And that our customer base would say, man, that felt like a steal now that I went all the way through this.
Yeah.
They should be charging more for that.
And they'd leave you a review. That's right. Refer their friends.
And I would send them the content and say, I want you to say this.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would, that's probably what I would do if I was looking back in maybe 2 to 3 years.
I love it, man. No, like I said, that's, I thought that was a really cool question, you know, obviously for Jason Bateman asked Will Arnett, you know, and Will Arnett was just like, dude, I just want to be employed. You know, he's like, I don't care what I'm doing or whatever. He's like, I just want to be employed, you know, and
to do stuff.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, I thought that was a really good one to kind of steal. And like I've stolen the other two and add to the podcast. So
that's a good one.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, listen, gentlemen.
Well, I want you to answer it now, man.
Oh, you want me to answer it?
Yeah, well, I think we all should answer this question.
Oh,
really
okay.
Good question.
I think so too. Yeah.
Okay. I can wiggle my nose and have my career be exactly where I want it to be, what would that look like? So that would look like me, not working in the shop. Close the business down. I would love to get on with a brand or a manufacturer, be a sales trainer or something of that sort. I'd love for the podcast to obviously be, you know, there's a lot of great podcasts out there for detailing, but I would love for us to just kind of like be the Joe Rogan podcast of detailing, you know? I'd love to have that, just that notoriety that the podcast is making that big of an impact on the industry, for helping. I mean, that's, you know, the whole reason I wanted to do this. That's why we do topics. So we can kind of do these things, have people like you guys on that hopefully are giving out good information or we're helping detailers grow their businesses. Having detailers on to give them a platform to tell their stories and the Q&As. So I would just, yeah, man, I mean, I would love to be working for a brand and having the podcast be that one that, you know, just everybody wants to be on without me having to ask, you know, like, you know, for people to be like, oh, who's this little podcast that's, you know, whatever. That's how I think. That's what I think. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's solid, man.
Yeah. I like All right, Jason. So let's hear your wiggle your nose there, buddy.
I wish I stayed in the Army.
Yeah?
I wish I stayed in the Army, man, because I got out after 10 years, and I got out after I served my time and got hurt and stuff. But I wish I just stayed in. Who knows
where
my career could have gone.
Yeah, but you know, if you would have stayed in, then you would have never started Bane Assassins. You and I would have.
No, a lot of this stuff would probably not have happened, and I'm okay with that. I mean, my military career meant a lot to me. You know, I accomplished a lot in 10 years, and I feel like if I had another 10, because I signed up at 20 years old, so I would have retired full time at 40, which is in like, you know, 3 years. So I'd be close to retirement by now, and who knows? Like, I had a lot of ambitions to do a lot more things with my career.
Right.
So that's cool. My answer.
That's good, man.
Yeah, man. And thanks for your service too, man.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt.
Hey, you got that syphilis pen, right?
Bro.
I'm trying to say it right when you took the water.
Jesus.
Timing's everything.
It almost came. It almost came out, but I ain't trying to spit all over my equipment, man.
I sent Jason a meme yesterday. It showed an old man wearing a hat that said strip club veteran on it, and it had like the pins and everything, and Jason messaged me back and he's like, oh, he's even got the syphilis pin.
The syphilis pen. Necessary.
Yeah. All right, and on that note, listen guys,
if people want to get in touch with you,
yeah, I'm getting there, man.
No, I don't care. I wanted
to say thank yous
first. Listen, I don't care.
I wanted to thank them for being on.
Look, man, I took my chances and I interrupted Alex. I'm gonna next time he sees me, I'm gonna get two black eyes.
Yeah,
he beats me. Everybody, you don't pay me shit either. This guy's living in a mansion in Orlando. Yeah, and he's rich. Sure, don't let him fool you. He's rich, man. He got two Audis. He's got French doors.
He's got four junk drawers. He's got a library at his house.
I built that library.
Yeah. All right. Where do we find you guys? Social media, websites, any of that stuff. Whoever wants to go first.
Luke.
Okay. You can go to wilsonautodetailing.com. Everything would be under Wilson Auto Detailing, social media, YouTube, or the website. Yep. That's it. Wilson Auto Detailing.
Sweet. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Absolutely. I keep it pretty simple too. Yeah. Just orbisx.com. And then also we have a podcast as well. You can check that out. It's called The Off the Clock Show. And that's pretty much it. And then if you want to learn more about my other companies, you can go to SeanGervais.com. It's not Ricky Gervais, SeanGervais.com. That's about it. You can email me direct through there as well.
Awesome. Again, thank you guys. I appreciate it. I hope you guys had as much fun as we did.
Yeah, it was a blast.
I hope this doesn't tarnish your careers or your images in any way by being on this podcast.
Well, I always have swimsuit model to fall back on, so we're good to go.
Yeah, exactly. This will be out. I mean, it's obviously live right now, but this will be out tomorrow. I'll post it in all the groups, so if you guys see it and you want to share it, by all means.
Awesome. Will do, 100%.
If you want me to actually send you the link so you can put it in any of your social media stuff or whatever, just message me and I'll send you the link to it. But honestly, you'll be able to grab it off of Spotify and Apple. It goes up at 8 o'clock in the morning. So
yeah,
Eastern
Everyone
time.
Needs to see it, but they also need to leave a review as well.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah.
And refer us. This, tell other people about us.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
We're new.
All right, guys. Well, we'll take care. We'll talk to you hopefully soon. Love to get you guys maybe back on separately.
Yeah,
and for Q&As, find out a little bit more, about you guys behind the scenes and whatnot. Awesome. So yeah, we'll talk to you guys soon. All right.
Take care. You're most welcome. Thanks so again.
Much.
All right. Ciao.
All right, man. So the 3 hours, I think we, I like this one,
nailed
man.
It.
Like I think.
Nailed it.
I think they had really good answers.
Dude,
I think
you know,
they had some really good
ideas. I agree. Good answers. And one thing I loved about it is that it wasn't the same old, I agree with you, or I agree with you. Like,
yeah.
You know, Luke had a different approach to different things, but they all made sense. It's like, holy shit. Like,
right, exactly.
Man, and listen, really good information.
We've always said, right, there's a million and one ways to skin the cat. So just because the way that one person says doesn't mean that the other way isn't.
Right.
But I think they both had great compatible answers.
Yeah.
You know, like you could do them. It wasn't a one or the other. It was like, shit, let's do both, you know, kind of thing.
Did your breath go? Did I take your breath away?
No, I was burping. Michelle did homemade hamburger helper today, so I'm getting a little bit of burpee.
So what are we going to have when I come over? I know it's like a month away.
I don't know.
We'll talk about it when it gets close to the date.
Yeah, that's
remember, it's my birthday weekend that weekend.
I'm a day-by-day kind of guy. So I'll have a cake. We'll get a cake for you in Seattle. Then with a plane on it or something. All right, everybody, please go like, share, follow, subscribe. Please hit that notification button wherever you're listening to us. Give us a 5-star review. If you can take the couple extra seconds and actually leave us a nice wording. I think on Apple, Spotify doesn't allow you to actually write a review. You just click the 5 stars. So, hey man, do it on both, right? Like that's, you know, it doesn't hurt. Do it on both. We will be at SDC next week. So
yeah,
we won't be doing a Wednesday because we'll be recording Friday and Saturday from SDC. If you have not got your tickets yet, southerndetailsconference.com, use the code DSP15, save 15%. Come down and see Jason and I. We will be in booth
420.
Exactly. Yeah. We will maybe we'll have some not weed gummies.
I'll have actual shit with me. So, I mean, let's be real. You want to come by booth 420? You want to have some fun? You come see your boy, okay?
No, listen, you can't say that.
It's not illegal.
I think for distributing it might be. I don't know.
I'm not distributing it. I'm sharing it. I'm not making money off of it. I'm sharing it with my friends.
Listen, just don't get me arrested. All right.
I have a medical.
Don't get us kicked out of SDC for.
It's just like, yo, but like, hey, you want a gummy? Here's a gummy. I got fruit snacks. People share.
Yeah, fruit snacks. There you go. Yeah. All right, let's go with that. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show as much as we did. We will see you next time. Yeah. I got to find a guest for Friday. We got to get on that.
There goes that professional thing right out the fucking window.
I just realized I don't have a guest for Friday. Listen, for the last like month and a half, I haven't had to do episodes because of all the Chicago stuff. So
I know.
I kind of keep forgetting, like, I've got to find somebody for Friday. So if you want to be on the podcast Friday for What's On Your Mind, hit me up. If not, fuck it, I'll find somebody, I guess. All right, you guys have a great night, week, day, whatever you're listening to this. We appreciate it. Take care.
Good night. Good night.